Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts,
but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And I just sighed very dramatically for no good reason.
You know, it was a like day 16 plus of quarantine sigh.
Yes, of isolation. I'm not in quarantine.
That's fair. Yes, I know. I keep using that term and like realizing that's not the right term. We're self-isolating, not self-quarantining.
Yes,
we're not sick.
Right, and we haven't been exposed to someone, to our knowledge, we haven't been exposed to someone who has it.
Right.
So anyway,
welcome to Forever 35.
Welcome to Forever 35, everyone.
If you would like to reach us, we really love hearing from you, especially now that we're self-isolated. Our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com. And just a friendly plug, we are doing a daily podcast right now called Here For You to help you get through this global pandemic that we're all in. It's very lighthearted for the most part, very fun, just a quick daily check-in. So please join us over there if you haven't already.
And you can also join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. And the password there is serums.
And you know, anything that we talk about here on the podcast can be found on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Forever 35 Podcast and on Twitter at Forever 35 Pod. And I should say, do follow us on Instagram because we recently did a live Instagram pajama party on a Saturday night and it was really fun.
Oh, we sure did.
And we'll probably do something like that again.
Oh,
I would
we
imagine.
Sure will.
Yep. Yeah, right?
Yep, so, yep, we will.
So give us that F, smash that follow button as the TikTokers say. Nobody says that.
Well, the YouTubers say smash
the
that
YouTubers,
like button.
Yeah, you're supposed to smash some sort of button.
Yeah.
And
I also just want to mention that we have put our merch shop on kind of indefinite hiatus. And we will make an announcement if and when it comes back. In the interest of full transparency, we were losing money on the shop, and in the current climate we just aren't able to afford to continue losing money, so we have suspended it for the time being, and perhaps when things turn around we will reopen it, but we just wanted to make that announcement.
Well, that just means that whatever Forever 35 merch might have been purchased is now like a hot collector's item.
Yeah. Totally.
Never to be made again. So if you got some, You got in. It's going to sell on eBay for billions of dollars someday.
Billions.
Sure. Billions.
Kate, how's it going?
Well, you know, I have shared this triumph on my Instagram, but I'm just going to share it here. I'm kind of just sharing it everywhere. I made a successful loaf of sourdough bread, and I feel like the most accomplished I've felt in a very long time.
That's amazing.
I feel satisfied. I feel proud. It was a really kind of interesting process. I don't find like calm in baking.
Yeah.
But I am kind of enjoying the challenge, and I love the like fantasy of making my own bread, and the fact that I was able to do it. Honestly, I'm very proud of myself. I'm going to give myself that.
I'm proud of you too.
Thank you, Dory. It was a friend of mine gave me some starter off of her mother or whatever the heck a doodle it's called, mm-hmm. her starter. And so I've been feeding this starter, and I tried to make a loaf of bread and I failed. And then I tried again this weekend and I was actually able to do it. And it was really fun. And if anyone, I've had people ask me for the recipe, I will link you to my friend's Instagram because I just followed a document she sent me. I'm not following any recipe off of a website or anything. It was just like a friend sent me a PDF and I did what it said. But you know, like I needed that. I kind of needed it.
You needed that win.
I needed the win, Dory. That's yeah, I needed it.
What do you do with the rest of the starter now?
Well, I currently have it in my fridge so I don't have to feed it every day. But when you're feeding it every day, you have to discard some of it, and then you can save that discard to make other things. But that felt very overwhelming to me. I tried that, and then I had like just jars of white stuff in my fridge. Uh-huh. And you know, our fridge, it's kind of full right now because I was able to do a grocery store trip and tried to stock up on a couple of things. So like, you know, there's like a head of lettuce in there. Like I just don't need like a bunch of jars of sourdough discard right now. So no. Yeah, you know, but I would definitely try to make another loaf of sourdough bread. That was really like felt very, I want to say like accomplished, but it was a challenge I've never done before, and I'm glad I did it.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
And I don't know why during this time of isolation in the coronavirus age, so many people are home making bread. I'm not sure why that has become a thing. I'm curious if other people are interested in doing it, but obviously no pressure if making a loaf of bread is not your thing. But if it is, I found it very satisfying.
Are you going to try other? I know you've made the no knead bread. Are you going to try other types of bread?
No, I'm not going to get ahead of myself here. Like it took me a long time to understand like how to measure on my food scale. You know, like I'm not. This is not my safe space. This is like my scary space baking.
Okay,
so
got it.
I'm going to try to make another loaf of sourdough bread and see if this wasn't just like a happy accident. See if I can do it again. Maybe give it to. I was thinking like that could be something I leave at neighbors' houses.
Oh,
but if I don't touch, like if I'm able to take the loaf out of the oven and just like put it in something without touching it, I think I could share it. I don't know. That might be a little precarious right now.
I feel like from everything that people have been saying and what I've been reading, it's like it's not really transmittable on food, but like don't quote me on that.
Right. Obviously, we're not experts, not doctors.
No.
But that's just something I was thinking about. And maybe I'll wait to do that until after everything has settled down.
I have been wanting, I really like cinnamon raisin bread.
Ooh.
And like that is something that I would be interested in experimenting with. I have raisins and I have cinnamon.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Right? You toast it and you slather some butter on it.
Oh, with butter. Yeah, I love cinnamon raisin bread. I was so horrified when I bought like a really fancy loaf of it. My kids were like disgusted by the idea of cinnamon raisin bread.
What?
I know. It's so like it feels universally delicious to me.
It is. It's like a treat.
I think some people might disagree.
Well, apparently your children do.
they're very sassy, picky eaters sometimes. Anyway, what have you been baking? I see that you found eggs and flour at the grocery store, which
yes.
is awesome.
So I've not been baking. I keep like wanting to bake and then either like running out of time or being like, oh, the kitchen is too much of a mess, or thinking like, well, if I make this thing, the kitchen is going to be a mess that I will then have to clean up, and then getting like discouraged. I did get more eggs and more flour today. Oh, I was also like worried about running out of things and, you know, using eggs on baking when I don't have that many eggs. But then Matt went to the grocery store this morning and got eggs and got flour. And got more butter. And so I'm feeling like we're well stocked for baking. So I'm going to I think I will finally bake today. I want it. Have you ever had those, you know, those cookies from the Levan Bakery in New York? The really like thick chocolate chip cookies?
No, I'm not even sure I'm familiar with this said bakery.
There's a bakery called Levan on the Upper West Side, and they're known for these like almost cake-like chocolate chip cookies, which are not usually my thing. I usually like a kind of like crispier chocolate chip cookie. But these are truly delicious. And if you pop them in the microwave, like you can make some and then you can pop them in the microwave for like 15 seconds and then you have like a warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie. And there's tons of like knockoff recipes on the internet. I've made them before. They're very good.
So good.
I was thinking about making Alison Roman's famous like shortbread chocolate chip cookies, but as I recall, they use like an inordinate amount of butter, and you know,
you don't want to use up all your butter.
I don't want to use up all my butter, but I might, yeah. I might check that recipe again. I mean, I could always do a chocolate chip cookie taste test. Just makes bunch of different kinds. I remember growing up, we used to just use the recipe on the back of the Nestle Toll House.
That's what I made this
chocolate
week.
Chips, which is a great recipe. So it's like, yeah. Maybe that's, you know, maybe that will be the winner. Who knows? But yeah, that's,
it has
that's
been really
what I want to do.
We've made these chocolate chips this weekend, and it's been very nice to have them to nibble on, I will say. Mm-hmm, I forgot how much I enjoyed just a chocolate chip cookie dipped in a cup of tea.
Ooh, yeah, yum.
You know, simple pleasures is where I'm at.
Simple pleasures. I also told my husband today that I want us to do a daily 15-minute tidying up every night at like 9 o'clock. And I think that this will help me feel less overwhelmed by the clutter and like the dishes piling up and just not let things get to the point where it starts to feel so overwhelming that I don't even want to deal with it at all. And so
yeah.
It becomes this like self-perpetuating cycle. Because I have been trying to do like real cleaning once a week, but I'm just talking about the nightly sort of like pick everything up off the floor, like put the clothes away, put the clothes in the laundry basket, do the dishes, wipe down the counters, clear off the dining room table. You know what I mean? Like those.
Yeah. No, I know that routine. Yeah.
Just kind of the basic things that make you feel like you're in a somewhat more livable situation.
So do you currently now not do that every night?
No.
So will you just kind of let stuff collect?
Yeah. And then it's sort of like ad hoc. Like I emptied the dishwasher this morning and I ran the dishwasher again. I put all the dishes that were in the sink in the dishwasher and ran it again. And like yesterday I wiped down some counters. You know, it's just sort of like random. Matt will occasionally do some dishes like at night. He likes to do dishes. I swept the other day, but like, you know, stuff just sort of piles up. Our bedroom just has piles of clothes everywhere.
We did laundry. We did like our massive laundry this weekend. And last night, Anthony folded all of it and like brought it into our bedroom. And I was like, I can't put this away. And then I forced myself to do it. Like, it took literally like 5 minutes to put it away, as opposed to the 10 days it would have sat next to my bed. And then I would dig through it to wear the thing, you know, like it felt so nice to put it away, but it is so hard for me to actually do it. And I still, even though like all evidence points to the fact that once you do it, it's a very quick process and you feel better. It is still so hard to actually motivate to do those things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it's tough in normal times. And like, I feel like now, especially, it's weirdly tougher.
Yeah, no, I get that. I was struggling with that this weekend. We do like kind of clean down the kitchen, clean up the kitchen every night. And I find it very soothing to like leave the kitchen at night with all the counters cleaned and like everything put away.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I hate doing it, I much prefer when my husband does it. I love like wiping that table down and then you're like, ah, oh, it's fresh for like 2 minutes. And then, you know, it's 5 a.m. Someone's going to come out and crumb it all up again. But it does feel oddly comforting.
Yes. Yes. So I'm hoping to regain. Oh, like take out the trash.
You know,
just like those things that then the next morning you're like, oh, the recycling is like overflowing. Why didn't we just take this out last night?
I know, it's so hard to make yourself do the things.
Yeah, it's so hard, but it's also like so basic, you know?
I know.
Like there, and I there do know, is, but... And there is a lot of shame, I think, associated with admitting that I find this hard, you know, because it's not that hard.
But it is. It is hard after a long day. Like it is. Yeah. It is. I mean, you're right. It is and it isn't. We all know it's not, but it does feel that way. And I understand the shame involved for sure. But I'm telling you that you're normal.
Okay, thank you.
You are welcome.
Was there anything else going on that you wanted to mention?
I did want to mention, I don't know if anyone else is using a schedule to kind of keep every day on track while they are isolated during this pandemic. But I made a kind of ridiculous Excel schedule for my family. Mm. And I will actually say it's the first day I'm implementing it. I had to put my schedule in one column and then my kids in the other, since I'm the main parent for them while they're during the week. So I could see like, oh, at this time I need to be recording a podcast. That's when you're going to be on your tablet. At this time, we're all going to have lunch and clean up. And then at this time, you do your story time and I'm going to do my emails. So it's kind of a bonkers schedule, but it was really, I posted it on our fridge and then we stood there for a couple minutes and we talked them through the day. And it felt like for the first time, it wasn't just like utter chaos. Like we were all kind of on the same page. And that was like such a relief. I almost texted you actually, like, because I had a real spring in my step. I was like, you know what? I feel like today it's finally clicking.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because now this could all go to shit in an hour. Who knows? But there was just something really great about like writing out everything I needed to do, because I feel like I have had to really put my work stuff aside and now I'm just kind of backlogged, and like that feeling of like treading water and being confused about which direction to swim in. That's kind of where I am at with getting my work done. So we'll see how it goes. You know, it's definitely weird trying to coordinate all this stuff. But day by day, we're taking it day by day.
Day by day.
So that's it. The other thing I did, can I pose a question to the audience?
Please,
to our listeners,
please.
Do you have any like games you play on a tablet that you might recommend to me? I kind of got the feeling that like maybe a game might be a good form of self-care, like a video game. But then I like went on the app store and I felt like I've never played a video game really, like not since I was a child. So I've downloaded a bunch of games. I'm going to try some out. I kind of want like a role-playing game where I like go on a quest. Did you play King's Quest as a child?
No, but I played Below the Root.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I think might have been a little bit before your time. I know I'm only 2 years older than you, but...
There were a lot of advances in video games.
Yeah, this was a Commodore 64 game that I played in like the mid-80s.
What is that? Is that an apparatus?
It was a quest game.
Okay.
Of people who lived underground below the root.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
And like, you know, they had special powers. It was very elaborate game that I was obsessed with that no one seems to have relaunched. Everyone's just obsessed with Oregon Trail. It's like, relaunch Below the Root, people. Come on.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to I liked Oregon Trail, but I don't feel like that's the game for me right now. Trying to survive as a video game character.
Totally. What about The Sims?
I've never done Sims, and I might try it out. I know Jackie Johnson of Natch Butte is a big Sims person. I'm not quite sure where to begin.
I've been thinking about downloading The Sims. I used to love Sim City, which I know the current iteration of The Sims has like very little to do with the original. But I don't know. I like people I know and respect like on social media sometimes post about their playing of The Sims, and I'm like, okay, they're into it. I might be into this too.
I've thought about The Sims. There's also a Nintendo game called Animal Crossing.
Yes, that people are very into.
Yeah, and that seems very soothing, so I might try that.
Okay.
Where it looks like you kind of just like build an island. I don't totally understand this. Oh, I just don't totally understand, but and again, like, when am I going to have the time to build an island? I don't know. I can barely like feed my dog. So maybe this is a bad idea, but I thought a game might be fun. Anyway, or please, if you play a game, idea. Or I just ignore all my responsibilities yes. right now and game, become a gamer.
I'd be into that for you.
Well, thank you, Dory. I will report back if I find anything.
Please do. All right. Well, should we take a break and then come back and talk to our amazing guest, Brooke DeVard?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we should, Dory. Yes,
okay, great.
We should.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Our guest today is Brooke DeVard O'Zidenly, who is a product marketing manager at Instagram and creator and host of the Naked Beauty Podcast, a platform to discuss beauty, self-care, and wellness with the women she admires most. And prior to Instagram, Brooke worked at Viacom, overseeing digital marketing and content strategy, and before that, at Ralph Lauren as a social media manager, overseeing the social strategy for their luxury brands. Brooke started her career in London as the product marketing manager for Nokia's entertainment team after graduating from Stanford University, and we are so thrilled to be talking to her. Welcome, Brooke.
Thank you. Thrilled to be on. I am a longtime listener of Forever 35, so I'm excited to chat with you guys.
Oh, yay. And we are big fans of yours as well. And we got to meet you, IRL, at the iHeartRadio Awards in January.
Was that your first time at... That was my first time being nominated for any type of award. I've like gone to lots of awards shows, but it was my first time being like a nominee and walking the red carpet.
Yes. Kate and I had this exact conversation.
Yes. I have not been nominated for an award since the sixth grade Latin award. So it was very exciting. And like people taking photos of us felt very surreal.
Yeah, it was, but it was cool. Like, it's like, when is that ever going to happen again?
Well, totally. I would say next year when you're nominated again.
Oh, well, yeah, fingers crossed.
Brooke, I know your last episode of Naked Beauty that you recorded before we are recording this episode, you did a special kind of coronavirus episode and you were in Sag Harbor with your family.
Yes.
And yeah. Are you still there? How is that going? What is your life like? Tell us everything.
Yeah, so I'm still in Sag Harbor. I'm with my mom, my dad, my husband, my brother, and his girlfriend. So there are six of us in the house, and I figured it's as good a time as any to just interview my entire family since we're all in quarantine. And yes. I asked them all just like how they're coping with working from home, self-care tips. My brother's girlfriend's a teacher, so her life is totally different. She's teaching her kids remotely. She's helping the parents like become teachers now. Talking to my husband, it was interesting to hear his perspective. He's kind of freaking out a little bit. I've just been trying to stay calm. It's a really strange time. And I think the news is a little bit overwhelming, like just the constant. Are you guys watching the news all the time?
I'm on my phone pretty much constantly. I'm not watching TV news, though.
That's smart. I think TV news really just like riles you up. And it's only because my parents are like news watchers. Like we don't really watch the news in our house.
Right.
So yeah, it's been an interesting time, but one thing I think the silver lining is that everyone has more time for themselves. And when you think about self-care and just me being like a busy working person in New York City, it's like I feel like I'm always being pulled in a million directions. I'm always running to a gallery opening, a friend's birthday dinner, a drinks event for this. It's like I feel like sometimes I'm being pulled in a million different directions. So to be still and to not have to do a million things has been a nice change of pace. And now I'm thinking about, okay, this is not just a short-term thing. This is going to be happening for the foreseeable future. Yeah. So, you know, what am I going to do from like a self-exploration perspective? Self-care, yes, but also like what new things am I going to try to teach myself? What books am I going to read? How am I going to expand myself during this time?
Have you landed on any decisions in that area?
Ooh, decision. So, well, first the question about if I'm working remotely. Yes, I'm working from home. My whole office, we've been working from home for a few weeks now. So I'm on back-to-back calls pretty much all day. And then I have the evenings free and I don't have to commute in the morning. So I have more time in the morning. One thing I have decided that I'm going to learn during this time is to learn how to drive. I'm a native New Yorker, and I just, you know, when you grow up in New York City, you just like don't know how to drive. A lot of my friends don't know how to drive. So my husband is giving me driving lessons now that we're out here in Sag Harbor.
Oh, that's so fun.
Is it challenging having a spouse try to instruct you as a driving teacher?
Yeah, it definitely has its challenges. But his intentions are good. So I just try to realize that he's like trying the best he can. And I try to not get too like frustrated with him. I am one of these people, like I'm like self-taught in a lot of things. Like I taught myself how to podcast. I taught myself how to make my own beauty products. Like I love being able to teach myself how to do something. But driving is one of those things that you have to depend on. Like you really do need another person and feedback. It's not one of the things I can't be self-taught in. So I'm grateful for his help and his patience.
I'm so excited to hear all about how you taught yourself to make your own beauty products. But before we touch on that, I have a question about quarantining with your family, because it's such an interesting way to be brought together for an extended period of time. And I'm just curious how that's going as adults with you and your brother and his partner and your husband and your parents. How are you finding spending time together? Are you reconnecting? Is this something you already did often, spend a lot of time together? How is that going?
Yeah, my family's pretty close knit. So it feels nice, to be honest. It feels nice. We're all just spending so much time together, so much time cooking. We've all been joking that we're all going to gain so much weight during this time, because that's all there really is to do. It's like, we cook dinner, then okay, should we cook something for dessert? Okay, what are we going to do for breakfast tomorrow? So there's a lot of time meal planning, but it's been really pleasant and relaxing and nice. I have friends that live in small studio apartments in New York, and they're completely alone right now. And I really, really feel for people that are self-quarantining alone, because I think that can be isolating and kind of have its own challenges.
Yeah, I think that's really tough. I've been trying to check in on my friends who live alone.
Yeah.
Just like make sure they're doing okay. So you mentioned making your own beauty products, which was actually something that we were very interested in talking to you about. I know you've made your own shea butter, homemade sugar scrubs, facial oils. Can you tell us how you got started doing that? And if people want to get into making their own stuff, like especially now, how can they do it? Are these ingredients readily accessible?
Yes, I love talking about this because I feel like a lot of people are somehow like scared or resistant or reluctant to make their own products. But it's like making scrambled eggs. Like it's not this like hard, complicated thing. I think if you cook anything for yourself, you can make a simple beauty product. There are like levels of difficulty, but some of the like my favorite things to make, like a face mask, is super easy. Like you can just buy clay. I buy a lot of my clay even just from Amazon. Mountain rose herbs. Do you guys know mountain rose herbs?
No, I think I've heard of it. I've heard
fabulous.
Mention.
Yeah, a fabulous wholesale supplier. So you can buy like Rasool clay from them, bentonite clay, and that's just something that you can mix with water and just make your own clay mask. If you want to get fancy, you can add turmeric. You can add raw honey to that face mask. But there are certain things like. I always tell people, if you go from a cost perspective, if you think about buying a clay mask from a big retailer, like you're paying not just for the raw like clay materials, you're paying for the branding and the packaging and the rent that they had to pay to keep it in the store, versus if you buy a huge bag of clay, that's going to be like 100 masks and it's going to take you a long time to get through. So I think from a cost perspective, from a sustainability perspective, and also from like a, I'm all about like tailoring and personalizing your skincare. So, you know, if you have dry skin, okay, I'm going to add some argan oil to this face mask because that's going to help me balance out what the clay is doing. If you have really oily skin, then maybe you don't want to add any oil to it. So I love that you can customize it the same way you would when you cook for yourself. You know, if you like your food spicy, if you like more cheese, you can just kind of like add to it. And I think face masks are super easy to start with. You can do yogurt-based face masks. You can even just start by doing honey face masks. That's like a one ingredient face mask that's so nourishing. But I got into it actually through my hair. So I went natural. That's a big thing for Black women. When you sort of decide to stop chemically processing your hair to make it straight. Some Black women never have relaxer in their hair at all, so there's no transition to go natural. But for me, at around maybe 19, 20, I decided I was going to stop putting chemical products in my hair. So I was forced to kind of like deal with my very kinky, curly hair in its natural state for the first time. And I remember going on YouTube and learning about shea butter masks and learning about henna hair treatments and learning about apple cider vinegar rinses and all of these natural things that I could do for my hair. And then I just sort of extended that to my face and then to my body. So it's been like a full 360 evolution.
Wow. That's amazing. I guess I'm also curious, like, have you been making your own hand sanitizer?
Oh my gosh, that is a project that I gave myself this weekend. So this weekend I made my own body oil and I made my own moisturizing hand wash because my hands were getting so dry. Yes, with all of this hand washing, my hands were getting so dry. And then
Tell us your secrets. How did you make a moisturizing hand wash?
So do you guys know Dr. Bronner's like Castile soap, just like their plain liquid soap? So I love that soap. I think it's phenomenal. So I just use that as a base and then you dilute it with water and then you add in moisturizing oil. So I just added in pure vitamin E oil, which is super easy to buy. I did about 2 tablespoons of that and a small bit of sweet almond oil. Sweet almond oil is an amazing moisturizer. It really deeply hydrates your skin. And then I did like 5 to 6 drops of peppermint essential oil just to give it like that nice minty feeling. And it is like everyone in the house is like competing to get to this soap now because it is like so moisturizing and nice. And it does what it's supposed to do, but it doesn't dry out your hands.
And I bet it smells really good.
It smells great. It smells great. Yeah. And I always, I keep for essential oils, I always tell people like if you're just getting started to get one like mint, so like a peppermint or a spearmint or even like a tea tree oil, a lavender. Lavender is just amazing with everything. And then a citrus. And I used to love lemon essential oil, but now my favorite essential oil is tangerine essential oil. It's just like, it smells like freshly peeled tangerine and it's like so delicious.
Oh, that sounds really nice. Wait, but you gave yourself the task to make your own hand sanitizer.
Yeah, and so then I was going to do the hand sanitizer after that and the body oil and then the hand wash. It took so long. So then I didn't get to the hand sanitizer, but it's on my list. I have, you basically just need pure alcohol, which I have, aloe vera gel, which I have. And then you want to add in again, like a vitamin E oil and then some essential oil. So tea tree oil and lavender.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And wait, let's get onto this body oil situation as well.
Yes. I love a body oil. I love a body oil. So do you guys use like commercial lotions?
Yeah.
I sometimes, but I also use oils, but I've dreamt of making my own body oil because it seems like if I just had the oil base, like the carrier oil and an essential oil, I could do it.
Oh my gosh, Kate, 100% you could do it. It would be so like that's you should just give yourself that as like a task to do over the weekend. You can do it even if you just have I did mine with sweet almond oil, which it's great because it's not that expensive. Out of all of the carrier oils, like some of them can get pricey. Sweet almond oil works great and it moisturizes your skin and it's good for sensitive skin too. And it makes your skin just feel so smooth. I think sometimes oils that I don't like are the ones that sit on top of your skin, like where they don't kind of deeply absorb. So sweet almond oil, when you mix that with sunflower seed oil is beautiful. And again, so deeply moisturizing and jojoba oil. I mix those three oils and then I added in sandalwood, the tangerine that I love so much, frankincense and lavender.
That sounds so good.
I'm like relaxed just thinking about it.
It's I feel like it's like the most luxury experience. Like we always talk about like luxury beauty products. And I'm like a big fan of Vintner's Daughter. And even when I was interviewing April, the founder for my podcast, hearing her talk about, I mean, the price point, you guys know Vintner's Daughter is very, very expensive. But this idea of luxury being like having ingredients that are like close to the source, like that come from nature, I truly believe in. When I see like really expensive like Chanel or like even when Tom Ford's skincare line launched, I was like, what makes this, you know, a luxury product that this doesn't have ingredients sourced from nature?
Right. It's the luxury is the brand that's on the label for a lot of these products, right? It's not or the kind of exclusivity of who else is using it.
Right. Which like, I feel like, I don't know. I think the landscape has changed so much. I don't know that people want that anymore.
I'm a big Vintner's fan as well. And I loved reading about how you tried to recreate it for yourself. Yeah. No, what was that like? And what did you kind of learn? Because it sounds like you tried and you didn't quite
nail it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have 22, 24 active botanicals in it. Some of those raw ingredients are just so expensive. Like rose absolute is like, it's, even to buy like a tiny quantity, I want to say it's like $60 for like the smallest little bit. So like, I didn't buy that. I didn't buy a few of the really expensive elements. They use absolute jasmine oil too, which is very expensive. And that's also why that product smells amazing. It's kind of like a fragrance on its own. In the process of trying to recreate it, though, I did discover sea buckthorn oil, which I always tell people is like the holy grail of like facial oils. Sea buckthorn oil does so much to like revive and brighten your skin. It helps with like cellular turnover. It just like gives your skin this incredible glow. And even as I interviewed April, she was like, yeah, sea buckthorn oil is like holy grail oil. It's like one of the things that makes our products so great. And that's like one of the oils I did splurge on in my quest to recreate her serum. So I am happy that I discovered it along the way.
I also have to say, like, I'm kind of encouraged, not encouraged, but it's kind of nice to know that the ingredients in Vintner's Daughter like are truly expensive.
Yeah. Yes,
like
they
it's
are.
Not just one of those products that's expensive and you're kind of like, is this the same as CeraVe?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm actually like glad to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your skincare routine because you have the most beautiful skin.
Thank you.
You laid it out in a recent interview in The Cut, and it was, yeah. I read it like word for word wrapped. Like, it was like, I was so eager to just, you know, like that urge to be like, well, got to go buy all these things now. Cause you know, Brooke said so, but the end of the piece, where you talk about lighting a candle every night, your skincare routine, I felt like was such a lovely thing we can all do, whether our products are always going to be different, but I love that you have this kind of ritual of lighting a candle when you do your skincare.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's skincare is such a ritual and I have a candle in my bathroom anyway. And so I just like to just kind of like light my candle to like, be like, okay, it's time. It's going to begin. I think it's taken me years to get to the point where I look forward to doing my skincare routine at night. And that's why I have to do it before I get really tired. I think when I went through the thing in The Cut, I shared a quote from Diana Vreeland that I love, where she says, the way you feel when you go to bed is the way you feel when you wake up. And I do believe that. I feel like if you go to bed feeling like refreshed and energized and like you've got like all of your great oils and serums on, then like you kind of wake up feeling amazing versus the nights where like I just use like a facial wipe and just wipe off whatever I had on my face and I like roll out of bed. You know, it's just not the same. So I think to set the mood, lighting a candle is like a very easy tip that we can all do. And even as I was doing that process for The Cut, I thought about, okay, should I use some of the products I make for myself in this, but then I realized it would be hard for people because they wouldn't know what was in it. So I just went with some of my favorite clean beauty brands. But I also wanted to make sure that I was supporting brands owned by Black women. There are so many great skincare brands, like Clore is one of them. Epilogic is another. So I wanted to get them in there. And I just did like my full routine, but like with all of my favorite serums. That's like what I do on like the best night of my dreams. I don't do all of those steps all of the time, but I do try to make my nighttime skincare routine a real ritual.
Can we talk about some of these products that you mentioned? Because you had two Epilogic products and you said their vitamin C multivitamin defense serum is the best vitamin C serum you've ever used.
It is. And I think it's because it has ferulic acid in it, but it also has hyaluronic acid. And I have more dry skin, so I'm always trying to get moisture in. I think a lot of vitamin C's now have ferulic acid in it, but I haven't found a lot of vitamin C's that also have hyaluronic acid as well. So I love when steps can be like kind of like multidimensional, like they can do many things for your skin. And I've tried like quite a few vitamin C serums. I've tried the Drunk Elephant one. I've just tried a bunch. And this is one of those ones that I feel like I can see a difference. Like hyperpigmentation is down. I feel like my skin tone's been more even since using it. So I love that vitamin C serum. And then the other one, that Collagen Renew, it has like human growth factor in it, which is like still something I'm like trying to wrap my head around. Have you guys heard about these serums that have like human stem cells in them?
I actually think I was just sent one that okay. I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm not going to touch it right now. Okay. All right. Dying to hear about this.
No, well, I can't tell you that much more because I still like, I've talked to the doctor. I've actually had her, Dr. Geniton, on the podcast. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. It feels very sci-fi, but I will say that it does give your skin like that extra bounce and like suppleness. So I'm loving that product.
I'm also intrigued by this Clear body oil that you mentioned.
Oh my God. So that's one where you read the ingredients on the site and it's like it has neroli and jasmine and argan oil and sunflower seed oil and avocado oil. And I mean, just all of the best body oils blended together. It smells like a garden. You put it on, you just feel amazing. I love a body oil at night. I feel like now when people make decisions about what to buy, it's not just the products. It's also like the founder and what they care about and how the company is approaching their sourcing of ingredients. So all of those things for me, like make a brand stand out and make a brand impressive. And that's why I love Clore.
What are some other brands that you think are kind of walking the walk?
Ooh, that's a great question. I am a big Supergoop fan. I think when I think about what their mission was, like to make sunscreen accessible to everyone and make sunscreen like a thing people like to do, I think that every single new sunscreen product they release, I'm just like in awe of. Like they had those shimmer shades over the summer, like that cream eyeshadow, because they were saying people aren't putting sunscreen on their eyelids. So of course we're not. Like, why would we? Like, because no one's made. And then they made like a cream eyeshadow that had SPF in it. They just released like an under eye cream that has SPF in it, and it doesn't irritate my eyes at all. They have now this, I think they call it Glow Screen. It's like a sunscreen with kind of like a glowy, dewy base. I think their brand is just incredible. And my favorite as a woman of color is Unseen Sunscreen, because it is so hard to find sunscreens that like blend into my skin tone. Like so many of them leave a white cast. So I really commend Unseen Sunscreen for that.
Yeah. What are some other brands that you feel like are doing a really good job being inclusive when it comes to making products for not just white women?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, everyone talks about Fenty Beauty. They kind of set the standard. But I think from a makeup perspective, Pat McGrath is incredible. And they've always shown such a diverse range in terms of models and skin tones. And like Pat obviously is a black woman herself. But, right. You know, you go to her site and you see like the palest of the pale, as well as like the darkest of the dark. And I think that's really wonderful and beautiful. And I think for skincare, there's still, I think, a lot of work to be done. I think you hear a lot of founders talking about like, oh, well, skin is skin and it's all just the same. But I do think that there are certain things that women of color need addressed more when you think about melanated skincare. So I'd like to see that conversation happen more. Dr. Barbara Sturm has gone out of her way. She has an entire line for darker skin tones. And I have so many guests that I interview that absolutely love her products. Like they're so expensive, but people say that they are just worth every single penny. I've tried a few and they are great. But yeah, she's, you know, I think she's German, I believe, but you know, she's a white woman, but she partnered with Angela Bassett and she created this entire entire line of skincare for dark skinned women.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your podcast. Naked Beauty started in 2016. That's correct, right?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about why you decided to do the podcast, kind of how it came about, and what you have learned in the last, my gosh, 4 years of doing the show?
Oh my God. Yeah. 4 years sounds like a million years when you say it that way. But you know what? It wasn't always weekly. I started getting really intentional about doing the show once a week consistently, maybe about a year ago. At first, it was like every other I did maybe two a month for the first couple of years, because that's just what felt sustainable with my job. But yeah, I created the show because I loved podcasts. I still to this day am a huge podcast nerd. I love the Marc Maron podcast. I love Joe Rogan. And I noticed that a lot of the podcasts I listened to, they were just like dudes just like talking, mm-hmm. sometimes in their garage, sometimes in a studio, but it was just be like these kind of long form interviews. But it was always like a guy talking to another guy. And I have no problem listening to men talk. That can be cool. But I was like, I would love to hear a podcast where women had conversations, but not necessarily. I found like that there were kind of two genres of podcasts for women at the time. I found a lot of podcasts about career. And it was like, mm-hmm. you know, these are, you're killing it in your career and you're just slaying everything and like you're winning at life. And it was all very like, good job for you. You're amazing at your career. Or like sex and relationship advice yeah. podcasts. That was just like so common. And I, at the time, and I still love Into the Gloss. That is just like one of my all-time favorite sites. But I remember spending hours just reading these interviews and Into the Gloss. And I thought, how cool would it be if you could take a conversation about beauty with interesting women, but use beauty as a almost like an entry point to find out more about how they thought about life and their relationship with self-care and their relationship with wellness and how they grew up and what beauty standards they inherited from their mother and what they learned from their grandparents and kind of have a more expansive conversation, but beauty was the entry point. And I just kind of created the show that I wanted to hear. And it's just kind of gone like that ever since. I continue to interview women I admire about their approach to beauty.
Do you have a dream guest who you haven't interviewed yet?
Ooh, I think everyone in the beauty world says this, but Pat McGrath would be one of my absolute dream guests. She's just like a genius and like everyone wants to know what's in her head. Naomi Campbell would be up there as well. And I think it's like, I would love to talk to those two women in particular because I feel like we know a lot about them, but you don't really hear long form interviews with them.
I think we interviewed the host of Fat Mascara, and I think Pat McGrath is also their number one dream guest.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I'll be happy for whoever gets that interview because I will definitely be listening.
She's an icon.
Absolutely.
What have you kind of learned from speaking to all these different people about their experiences with beauty? Is there an overlying thing that kind of connects that you kind of find connects people and their experiences?
I think the common theme is that none of us have it figured out. Everyone is sort of a continual work in progress. I don't think I've talked to anyone who's like, yep, I totally have my self-care routine, my self-presentation, my approach to wellness all figured out and like wrapped up in a bow. It's like we have these shifting relationships with our hair, with our skin, with our bodies. And sometimes maybe your skincare routine is on point, but like you're like, I really should be getting to the gym more. Or maybe your like workout routine is great and your skin's on point, but you're like not sleeping as much as you should, or you're spending too much time on your phone. It's like we all have these kind of positive to negative experiences with different facets of ourselves, and they're always evolving and they're always changing. And I think they don't ever stay fixed. And some people go through periods of immense self-love towards themselves. And sometimes we are not kind to ourselves. Sometimes we're like abusive to our hair. Sometimes we're abusive to our bodies when you think about like not eating well or not getting enough sleep. So I think I've just learned that we're all on this kind of like journey.
Yes, I feel the same way. And that actually feels like a really nice note to end on. So thank you so much, Brooke, for coming on the show. Where can our listeners find you and listen to Naked Beauty?
Yeah, so Naked Beauty, it comes out every Monday, and you can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And then I have an Instagram community for the podcast that's Naked Beauty Planet. So you can join the Instagram community where we talk about all things beauty, and I share a lot of my DIY recipes there, nakedbeautypodcast.com. And then I'm at Brooke Devard on all social platforms.
Awesome. Thank you so
Brooke.
Much.
Thank you stay so much for safe. Having me.
Yeah, stay safe and healthy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right.
We're in the Intenshi zone.
We are in the Intenshi zone.
Let's highway to the Intenshi zone.
How did last week's Intenshi go?
I mean, my intention was to make bread. It was to make sourdough bread to completion, and I did it. So, boom, nailed it.
You totally nailed
it. Done and done. Yep, nailed that intention, which is rare for me. I feel like I have like a 1 out of 10 success rate here. And then this week, so I'm kind of hitting the wall in terms of meal planning here in isolation world because it's just feeling tedious. I'm trying to use all the stuff we have. So that kind of gets a little like, I'm like, I can't, are we going to make tacos again for the 50th time? I mean, I guess so, which is fine. But I'm trying to kind of think of new things to make. And I'm also finding it like at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't feel like making anything.
Yes.
So I thought I would attempt one pre-made ahead of time meal this week.
Mm.
So something that I either like prep and freeze so that I can just dump it in the crock pot, or something that I cook ahead of time and then whip out. I have to do a little bit of research. That's why I'm only going to attempt just one. But you know, I'm always inspired by those people who like spend one Sunday making like 30 freezer meals for the month. Like that is...
Yes. Yes.
I don't think I'm ever going to be there, but like that is kind of like my porn when I read about that stuff. I get very excited.
I feel like that stuff is all over Pinterest. It's like 30 frozen crockpot meals. And it's someone has like their whole freezer filled with like Ziploc bags of meals.
Yes.
That they just dump in the crockpot.
Yes. It's truly aspirational.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for one. Anyway, so I will report back. If anyone has any recipes, I would love to hear them. Some kind of like freeze ahead crockpot recipes. I'm down. I am down. So let me know. Dory.
Yes.
How about you? How has yoga at night been going?
It's been going great. I do it every night.
Dude.
Yeah. I've been working my way through Yoga with Adrienne's restorative yoga playlist.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Which has maybe like 13 different classes ranging from, she has like a 6 minute routine to like a 40 minute thing. And they're just such a great way to end the day. Last night I had been leaving my computer on my desk, and then last night I put it down on the floor. I surrounded it with my LED candles. It was a mood.
I really love that you use these candles. So
these candles have turned out to be
candles.
Like,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say, they're the ones that you mentioned on our episode of Gee Thanks, Just Bought It.
Yes. And these candles have been like the real workhorses of isolation.
Good. Whatever it takes to feel that
whatever
like,
it takes.
A soothing calm, you know?
And I feel like I first learned about them from you.
Yeah, I'm a longtime user of these candles. I'm not sure where I first found out about them, but I love them.
Yeah, they're amazing. They like flicker.
Yeah, they look very real.
They
and they're
look
super
very real.
Safe.
Yeah. So that's been great. And, you know, I mentioned this last week, but I'd been hesitant about doing a daily intention. But I actually think that I'm now revising this. I might like a daily intention because I know
Whoa.
I have to do it every day. And so I like carve out time for it. Whereas if it's something that I'm just like, oh, I have to do this once, I keep putting it off.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you actually find more work works for you.
Well, that's one way to frame it.
I mean, but like, but it keeps you on track.
Yes.
I get it. I get it. That's really cool.
So I actually think my intention is going to go back to what I mentioned earlier in the episode, the daily tidying up. I'm going to make that my intention because, again, it's like a daily thing. And if it's my intention, then I'm going to make the time for it. I've already thought about it. I'm going to do it before yoga. It's going to be like my pre-yoga thing because then after I have yoga to look forward to.
As a reward.
As a reward. Yes.
This is awesome. Okay, this is great. I love this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I feel like this is really a good one for you. I can't wait to see how it goes.
I become like super homemaker. Like my house is spotless. That'll never happen.
Heck no, me neither.
But we can dream.
We can dream.
Well, Kate, it's been great to chat with you.
Yep. Yep. One day I'll see your face again, I hope, in person.
I know.
But until then, this is sufficient. I was going to say this suffices, but is that?
You could say that, yeah.
Does that work?
Okay, that works.
Thank you. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Thank you, my English teacher.
You're welcome.
Dori, let us say our farewells, which is that Forever 35 is hosted and produced by you, Dori Shafrir, and me, Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Sam Reed is our project manager.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.